Brian Burke of the Calgary Flames, good enough to join us twice in a week. What did we do? We must be doing something right, Berkey.
What is that music?
It's our producer picked it. It's Incubus.
Jesus Christ, it's awful.
Yeah, it's...
He's a hippie.
Yeah, he is. He's a bearded hippie.
Well, can you turn it off now? It's making me sick to my stomach.
Oh. There it goes. There you go. There you go.
Good Lord. Get Soda's not tone deaf to pick your stuff.
I'll try. We'll get on that. The life's good, hey? You get a few wins under your belt, and I would think the mood around the rink and everything changes.
Yeah, this game is easy and fun when you're winning, and the guys are working very hard right now, and they're executing well. And when you get on a good roll like that, you get quality goaltending, and just it all seems to come together like a jigsaw puzzle and all the pieces fit. And so, yeah, it's been enjoyable. The guys have worked very hard for this, and they deserve some credit for this.
We just played the sound from Glenn Gullitson yesterday. He was asked by guys in Toronto, what happened? What was the turning point for the change in how the team is now playing? And he referenced kind of a heart-to-heart moment with a bucket of beer on a train ride from Montreal to Ottawa. And we laughed because Red has always said, When you need something to happen, get together, have some beers, and be honest with each other.
Stu Barnes got we ended up in Buffalo together. He went like 20 games without scoring a goal. Stewie, I think it's time to go for a beer. What do you know? Scores goals.
I think there's a bunch of things that have to happen. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. And I think when teams come together, there are crystallizing moments. There are momentum changing things. I think Gully going after the team publicly after the game in Montreal, I think, was a turning point where here's a guy who's a player's coach, who's been very respectful to the players, who hasn't thrown anyone under the bus and just snapped and threw everyone under the bus with our, you know, knowledge and consent and blessing. I mean, this was not just Glenn Gullitson going off the handle. This was how we all felt. So I think that was the first time that this player's coach had challenged the players. I think that was part of it. I believe Gully's explanation that having a beer with a player sometimes does wonders for him. If you can listen to him and let him talk about what's the problem and so on. I think Brian Elliott, if you're picking one player that deserves the credit for the turnaround, I think it's Brian Elliott's play. I think a lot of guys have contributed, but I think he's the single guy I would pick out. So it's a lot of things. And a lot of things have to go right for you to put together a streak like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's some lady luck there, too. The teams that you've been battling with, they've struggled a little bit. You've gone on a winning streak. You give up a goal with 0.4 to go in the game, and then you win it in overtime. It has. There's been a lot of things rolling your way, for sure.
Yeah, and even in Vancouver, you score a goal with four, Geo scores with 4 seconds, so you get a point out of it. We don't get the second point, but there are things, and you can call it luck, or you can call it momentum. I think there is some luck in hockey, but I think a team that works hard and gets the job done has more luck. It's the famous Abraham Lincoln quote. Funny thing about luck, the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. So I think it's a lot of it's momentum that you can generate some breaks and generate some luck if you've got momentum and outwork your opponent and stick to the game plan and play right, you know, play the way we want to play. So it's a lot of different things, but it is enjoyable, and I'm happy for our season ticket holders. They're getting to enjoy a little run here.
I know when you came on board and when Treliving was hired, you said, you know, this is Brad's team. I don't need to talk in the media. This is Brad's team, and now it's Glenn's team. How often do they come to you and bend your ear? Do you kind of see instances where maybe a little guidance would be good? The communication between you and your GM and your coach.
Well, I interact with both of them. The coach I try to see every day, just say hello to. The GM interacts with the coach more about who's going to dress and who's not, and then I get that feedback from Tree. I think it's been a good partnership. It's very much like my relationship with Ken King, where I go to Ken for guidance on things and say, here's what we're thinking and so on. So I think this structure will work for pro teams. I think you're going to see more and more of it. I think it allows a team like the Calgary Flames to hire a young GM that doesn't have a lot of experience and still have some success. So I would describe my style as hands-off but hands-on. In other words, not interfering day-to-day but not out of the picture ever. Tree and I talk every day or text every day, meet every day when we're both in town. So it's worked out well. And, you know, our coach is doing a nice job. He's done a real good job so far. This is we had a good preseason and stumbled out of the gate. And Chad Johnson brought us back into this thing in November with some great hockey. We stuck with it. Our special teams weren't very good. We stuck with it. And all of a sudden, the special teams have righted their ship. The goaltending sound. We've got some balanced scoring. It's not just one line. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, this is a pretty decent team.
Clearly red hot right now. Best team in the league in their last 15 games. But take us back to November 15th. Johnny gets injured in Minnesota. You'd noted the run Chad Johnson went on. You were last in winning percentage in the entire league that day. Did you have hope at that point? Did you believe this group could still be a postseason club?
Well, the easy answer is to say yes, right? So I say to you guys, yeah, I still believe in the group. At that point, you're wondering, okay, did we make some good decisions? Did we bring in the right people? Have we got things going here? We got it. And so what you say to yourself is, okay, how do you climb out of a manhole? And the answer is you pull yourself up one pull at a time. You know what I mean? There's no other way to do it. You're not going to fix everything at once. So it's like, all right, let's fix the things we can fix best. Let's fix the special teams. And so we made that a priority, and all of a sudden special teams started to get better. Then let's dumb it down. If we're playing a system that's too complicated for the players, if they're having trouble grasping it, let's dumb it down. Made it a little simpler. The coaches made a couple changes. So it's one of those things where, again, it sounds like a cliche, but how do you climb out of a manhole? You know how you do it? One pull at a time on the rope. So, but there was discouraging times, obviously. It's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel when you think the tunnel runs to Spain.
What's going on with Treliving's contract? We're obviously a hot topic for lots of people to discuss, but it seems odd. He's done a pretty good job in our view anyway. Is he getting a new contract?
Well, that's the way ownership and management here have approached management contracts historically is they've addressed them near the end of the contract. And the same thing happened to me in Vancouver. This is not Calgary Flames having a distinctive policy on contracts. Tree was given a 3-year contract. You can take a position, I think, and not feel defensive about it, that we really don't owe Tree an offer or an answer until we get a lot closer to the end of that 3-year contract, which is June 30th. So same thing happened to me in Vancouver. Before my last year in Vancouver, they called me in and said, your contract expires next June 30th. We'll talk to you sometime in June. So I don't think there's some hardship on Tree. I've been through it myself. This is how things have been done here historically, and we'll address it at the right time.
Do you feel like that makes life difficult for a GM when there would be pressure to make moves for the short term rather than the long, or are you not worried about that? I could just see a guy that knows, hey, if I'm not here in a year, I better start moving things for the current.
Well, first off, you don't know Brad Treliving very well if you think he'd ever think like that. He bleeds red Calgary Flames. I mean, he's going to do what's best for this team at all times. And with the management structure we have, someone couldn't think short term anyway. We got a process that we go through to approve transactions that would make that impossible to happen. But he's a professional. He gets it. We've talked about it. You notice from him, it's not a big deal to him. I think it's a bigger deal, like Rhett says, because the industry norm is, oh, we're going to extend this guy in the summer and we're going to announce it. That's not how they've ever done it here, and that's not how we're going to do it this time. So Tree's comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with it, and I'm confident that things will work out. But no, this is not, it's not a pressing issue around here. I know I gave a speech yesterday to a group of golf pros, and someone asked me about it, and I said the same thing. They said, well, that makes sense.
I'm curious where you sit right now in your own mind. We talk every day ad nauseum. And if
yes, you do,
that's
by the
right.
way.
If there was another team out there that was 6 or 7 points clear of a playoff spot, we would be fairly confident in saying, well, they're in. But yet we feel a little reluctant to do so here because you don't want to jinx anything. But there's the looking in the rearview mirror at St. Louis or Los Angeles, and then there's looking ahead at the Anaheim Ducks, who really you're closer to than any of the other. Where's your mind? Are you in as a playoff team in your mind?
Only an imbecile would come on this show and say we're in.
Fair enough.
And I'm pretty sure I'm not an imbecile. I may be not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm pretty sure I can spell and so on. So, no. No one's in until they clinch. Until they change that letter in the newspaper where they put the standings, and I think they put an X when you clinch.
Mm-hmm.
that's when you've clinched, when the league tells you you've clinched. So we've got lots of hockey between now and then. The focus, in my view, the focus when you're in a situation like this where these guys have done a good job opening a gap up on the teams behind us and closing the gap on the teams ahead of us. The key to making the playoffs in a tight race is to not have significant numbers of teams between you. In other words, if you're only 4 points out and you say we're 4 points out, so a team in the East right now could say we're 4 points out. But if there's four teams between you and them, you've got to catch all four of those teams. So you've got to assume they're going to win some games as well. So you've got to leapfrog teams. It's not just a case of you're 4 points back. You've got to catch teams that are also going to win games. That's what complicates the math. And the three-point games are killers. So for us to put it away, pull away, I think the focus has to be, and I know this is Gully's view, is forget about how many points we're behind Anaheim or points ahead of L.A. We've got L.A. three more times. We've got Anaheim again. Let's focus on how we play. Right now, the way we're playing is giving us a chance to accumulate points. That's got to be our focus going forward, not the standings.
I want to ask you about Michael Backlund. Like you say, you've been in the league a long time, and Rhett and I have been highly critical of this guy over the years. He struggled to stay healthy. He was meek. He struggled with confidence. And over the last few years, he has gotten... To watch him now, you wonder how he ever struggled with confidence. The way he carries the puck, carries himself, and is leading your team in scoring. Can you talk about the emergence of Michael Backlund?
Yeah, this is a great lesson. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is a great lesson on how you have to be patient with some guys, and in particular, maybe with some Europeans. And, you know, I had Anton Strahlman in Toronto, and I moved him. I think I moved him here. And
yeah.
Actually made a deal that I thought made sense at the time, but I never thought he was going to be a player that could play in the top four. I thought he'd be a power play specialist if he played at all. He's a really good player. And had I waited, I might have gotten more value, or he might have still been in Toronto. And I was saying to our guys, Bax is a good example of a guy that really you got to wait and see what you have. It's like a good bottle of wine sometimes. You don't know what you have till you wait a couple years. And with Michael Backlund, since I got here, when I got here, I thought he was an expendable guy. This is a guy that for us to get better, we'll probably have to replace. He's gotten better. He's gotten more consistent. My big beef with him last year was we'd get 20 good games, then five or six bad games. Then the coach would have to yell at him and get him back on the rails. I thought he was streaky and inconsistent. He's gotten rid of that part of his game. And now he's doing the same defensive job he did the last couple years that I've been here, and he's added high-end offense. That line is really special together. But he's the guy that drives it. The center usually drives the line, and he drives the line. He's having a tremendous year.
Thoughts on the rookie playing on his left side? You have to be thrilled. You always talk about certain attributes you love. He's there at six. How happy are you at the draft?
Well, once Columbus went off the chart, you know, like what happened there was once they announced their pick with Dubois, who's going to be a good player, not quarreling with that pick, but once they went off the list, we knew we had Tkachuk. We knew that Vancouver was going to take Ulevi, who's also, what a draft this is going to end up being. But once that happened, we knew we had Matthew Tkachuk, and you could see the guys at our table. Once Columbus announced their pick, there were guys fist pumping at our table. Because we knew at that point we had Matthew. He's been terrific. I mean, he's fourth or fifth in rookie scoring. He's not that far behind the guys right in front of him. He's doing other things well. He's throwing some big hits. He's had some scraps. He's annoying. And I think his game's just going to get better. He's 19. He lacks some power in his skating. That will come with time and with the work ethic he has. That will come. This guy does things. There are people ahead of him in the scoring race, rookies, that have scored more goals and scored more points. I'm not sure too many of them do the full package of body checking, fighting. His net presence is excellent. Like, he stays out every day after practice and tips pucks. He gets almost every one. It's amazing what this kid can do with a net presence. He gets a stick on everything. He battles. Just going to get better. So it's really fun to watch. When you take a young player, and we were going to send him back. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I always send my guys back. And I was like, 18-year-olds go back. I sent Nazem Kadri back. I sent back Bobby Ryan. And so my view is 18-year-olds go back. And it was really the last preseason game that he played. And Tree said, you know, I know you want to send him back, but I want to keep him. And I said, well, because it's very expensive to keep an 18-year-old. They get arbitration rights a year earlier. They get unrestricted a year earlier. It costs us some serious money to keep an 18-year-old. Then we kept Monty. We kept Johnny as a young player. He wasn't 18, but by burning a year, it cost us some money. We keep Sam. And so we want to get into a pattern where the top pick does not stay here. On successful teams, the top pick does not start the year with their team. They go to the minors and they learn to play or go back to junior. That's where we want to get. But Matthew played his way onto this team, and he's been terrific for us.
He's been great in the community. I got a buddy, you'd know, Jason Weimer.
Yep.
He texted me yesterday and said, Tkachuk came out to the kids' practice, signed a bunch of jerseys, helped the kids, went on the ice with them. I mean, he's got the right mindset.
On his own accord. It wasn't a team.
Yeah, this wasn't a team function. It was he was asked by someone, and I don't know how it all came together, but Weimer texts, he goes, you make sure you mention that because this guy's got it figured out. He does it right.
Yeah, he's a nice kid. Well, he grew up in a hockey household. He should get it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, before we... Did you have one, Ryan? Did you have anything?
You mentioned Backlund and patience. I wonder how the similarities you see there and the acquisition you make of Lazar, who has struggled mightily this year. We know about the mono in training camp, but a guy that certainly everyone loved in his draft year and even some since.
Well, Curtis Lazar, in my mind, was a player we all coveted his draft year. This is a guy who won a World Junior, won a Memorial Cup. This guy's got a tireless work ethic, and he's not small. I think there are people out there who think he's small. He's 210 pounds, and he can skate, and he can fight. It's not in his nature to fight, but he can fight. So this is a guy we think is a long-term acquisition. We've got to get his confidence back. He's had a horrible year. He's struggling with some tough mental things in terms of, you know, confidence and what he can do. And now he comes here and thinks he's going to get a chance, and he's coming in with a team on a winning streak. Well, we're not touching the lineup until the winning streak ends. And hopefully it's not for a few more games. So this kid's got to sit, but he gets it. And we believe firmly this is going to be long-term. This is going to be an exceptional acquisition. We think this kid was rushed into the NHL. He had mono this year. We think this is a guy that can be an excellent third-line center or wing. He can shut people down. He can bang, kill penalties, and just a positive, positive kid. Like, this is a great attribute. If you have a guy that's always in a good mood, that's good on a team. That's one of the great things about Teemu Selänne. He came in every day with a smile. And Michael Frolik is like that on this team. So you got some grumpy guys. You got a guy that comes in every day and the sun is shining and everything's good and he's ready to work. That's what Curtis Lazar brings, which has value to a team.
That's what you bring, Berkey.
Maybe after seven coffees.
compare the, and again, we're keeping you here, but Sam Bennett, we've gone kind of back and forth. He goes cold and then he'll show up and do something. What are you seeing in his, not that it's unexpected, I suppose, for a young player, but it's not been, I'm guessing it's not a year that's built a lot of confidence for him.
Well, I think it's funny you ask about Sam, because I really think Sam has been, over the last five games, our most improved player. I think Sam, things are starting to click for Sam. Like, I thought his game the other night was the best game he's played in a Flames uniform. I told him that, by the way. Mm-hmm. I thought he was excellent. Playing center in our league is hard. You know, like we talk about, you know, the hardest position to play is goaltender. The next hardest position to play is defense. The next hardest to play is center. And playing center is two or three times as hard as playing wing. All the responsibility you have down low on the forecheck in your own end and so on, plus faceoffs. I thought Sam was just terrific the last five games. And I thought the other night, again, it was his best game that he's played here. So I think he's coming hard. I think he's getting comfortable at center. This was the guy we had really high hopes for when we drafted him, and he is not going to disappoint. He's got jam, he's got skills, and he's just going to get better.
It does give you, man. You look at the future, and between Lazar and Tkachuk and Bennett, you got three guys that should be no fun to play against. Johnny is brimming with skill. Monahan is already a number one center. Brody continues to play. Dougie and Gio have been a great fit. You know what? That's my last question for you. What do you make of what Michael Stone, the difference that that's made? Obviously, he's been good, but what it's meant for TJ Brody?
This is your third last question?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on. I don't do much media, as you know, so it's nice to get on with you guys, and I know that it's an important part of our marketplace that you guys are talking hockey every day, so it's a pleasure to go on. I think sometimes that with Michael Stone, and this was a tree move. I don't know this player. I didn't get to see him play much the last while. The last few times I've watched him, he didn't do a whole lot for me. And this is tree having had him in Phoenix and knowing the player and saying, I believe in this guy, I'm going to get him. And I think sometimes the best thing you can do for a defenseman is get him a compatible partner. And I think that's what's happened here. Giving him a right shot, stay-at-home guy has really helped TJ Brody's game. And Stoney's been good for us. He can shoot the puck. He's a big man. He's been good in his own right, but his greatest contribution probably has been that he's made TJ that much better.
I notice your son has stepped away from the You Can Play program. He stepped in and carried on his brother's crusade. How proud you must be of what Patrick has done and the young man that he's become.
Patrick, you know, for those who don't know what that is, You Can Play is 5 years old 2 days ago, and this is the organization that Patrick started in memory of my late son, Brendan. Patrick has announced he's stepping away. It's time for You Can Play to take on a persona without the Burke family. That's his view, and I agree with him. I am so proud of Patrick, what he's done in hockey. He's a scout for the Flyers for 7 years, and he's been with player safety now for three, I think. Great kid, law degree, Notre Dame undergrad, just phenomenal. And what he's done with You Can Play, I could not be prouder, and I could not be happier for how he's continued Brendan's legacy.
He's a good man. And,
yep, he is.
And you are too. So
thank you.
We appreciate you coming on. Don't be a stranger. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
You betcha. There's Brian Burke of the Flames. Plenty in there.